Well, I think everyone here is familiar with the renowned evangelist Billy Graham. Is there anyone who is not? But what about two of his contemporaries that burst on the scene with him in 1945? What about the names Chuck Templeton and Bron Clifford? Ever heard of them? All three men started their ministries about the same time. All three in their mid-20s, and all three were fervent. They were on fire for Jesus Christ, filling stadiums to the max. As a matter of fact, both Chuck Templeton and Bron Clifford were better known than Billy Graham. One seminary president, after hearing Templeton preach, called him, quote, the most gifted and talented young man in America today for preaching. Another pundit said of Bron Clifford, he's the most powerful and gifted preacher Christianity has seen in centuries. The king we're going to look at this morning, King Hezekiah, the 13th, lucky 13, the 13th king of Judah, also started his kingship, his reign, in his mid-20s. And like all three men I just mentioned, he burst onto the scene like a firebrand. And he restored and turned back the kingdom of Judah to the one true God after his father, up to that point the most wicked king in the kingdom of Judah, King Ahaz, had turned it to idolatry. So open your Bibles to 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to warn you, we're going to look at a lot of scripture today because scripture is God's word is God's word. All the rest is commentary. So 2 Kings 18, let's look at the first 8 verses. Read along with me. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, began to rule over Judah in the third year of King Hoshea's reign in Israel. That's the northern kingdom. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made because the people of Israel had offered sacrifices to it. In other words, they turned it into an idol. Jump down to verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. How'd you like to have that as an epitaph? He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute. He also conquered the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territories, from the smallest outpost to the largest walled city. Hezekiah takes off like a house on fire. He does a lot in his early years. And the first thing Hezekiah does is turn the entire kingdom back to God. He reverses everything his dud of a father, Ahaz, had done. He cleans out all the idols from throughout the nation. And he literally opens the temple of Jerusalem. The text tells us that his father Ahaz had nailed the temple door shut. Hezekiah reinstates the Levitical priesthood and the Passover as a national holiday. He even invites members of the northern kingdom to come down and participate. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of restoration. Now, granted, he had two great prophets alongside him, the prophet Micah and Isaiah, who helped him. But this young king stepped out alone and in complete obedience to God because that he believed his incredible God would bless his efforts. He was courageous and he was obedient. And we also know he acted quickly because the text tells us in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 36, Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. And gentlemen, here's the first thing we can learn from King Hezekiah. It's his courage and it's his immediacy of action. His courage and his immediacy of action. Is God asking you to do something? Is he asking you to do something that maybe the Holy Spirit has been nudging for a while at work? Or maybe it's a dangerous environment. I still think back to the interview Chris White Jr. held with Mark Maynard, where Mark had to appear to HR a number of times because he was accused of proselytizing. That's dangerous. Is the Holy Spirit asking you to do something? What about your family members? Maybe to restore a broken relationship? If so, do it immediately and courageously like Hezekiah and watch God bless it. And because Hezekiah stepped out in faith and remained faithful to God, the text tells us the Lord was with him and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He even prospered personally. And he lived happily ever after. The end. No. That's not what happened. Because Hezekiah followed God for 14 years. 14 years he obediently and faithfully followed his Lord God. And then he experiences major opposition. 2 Kings 18:13 tells us, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria came to attack the fortified towns of Judah and conquered them. The perennial power of the day, the Assyrian Empire, under King Sennacherib, invades Judah and marches towards Jerusalem. And by the way, at this time, the northern kingdom of Israel had already been wiped out completely by the Assyrians. They were no longer on the map. You see, King Sennacherib of Assyria had taken notice of all the four reforms that King Hezekiah had brought about. The removal of all the idols. And by the way, many of these pagan idols that Hezekiah's father Ahaz had brought in were the Assyrian idols. And Hezekiah says, no mas, when it comes to paying tribute. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to be subject to you. I'm subject to the Lord God of Israel. And he doesn't pay any tribute to the Assyrian Empire. And you know what? King Sennacherib takes notice. And he decides to march on Jerusalem and make an example of Hezekiah. And here we have another great lesson from Hezekiah's life. Gentlemen, if you've endeavored in 2023 to do more for Jesus Christ, expect opposition. A couple of weeks ago, Chris White Sr. at our table said, we were talking about this very subject, said, if you're a professing Christian and you're not experiencing anything in your life, any hardship, you've got to question how effective you are for Christ. There's a lot of truth in that. Hezekiah chose to follow God and he had major opposition at his footstep. The Assyrians march on Jerusalem. King Sennacherib actually sends a party to the gates of Jerusalem and they start disparaging the Lord God of Israel. They start lying about King Hezekiah. And the people of Jerusalem are obviously shaken. And how King Hezekiah acts is a beautiful picture of how we should act when trouble comes to our doorstep. He goes up to the temple and he prostrates himself and he lays down in front of him, these disparaging comments that are made by the emissaries of King Sennacherib. And he prays this beautiful prayer to his incredible God. Listen to 2 Kings verse 19 from chapter 19. It's the last verse. And I challenge you when you go up to your tables later on to read this prayer. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, that's Sennacherib, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, God, are the one true God,
Hezekiah makes it all about his God, not about him. This is for your glory, God. What a beautiful prayer. And God delivers in a huge way. Listen to 2 Kings 19, verses 35 through 36. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. I love the way the text says it. There were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and he dedimaled back to Assyria. God routs the Assyrians and sends them packing. The people rejoice. And Hezekiah was an incredible instrument for his nation to turn them back to God. Are you, for your family, as a dad, as a grandparent, do your children and grandchildren, have they ever seen you pray? I'm not talking about at dinner time, but have they ever seen you pray to your incredible God? I've had two men in my life tell me the most powerful thing they've ever seen was their dad praying on their behalf, on behalf of their family. They walked in, on both cases, they walked in on their dad during his morning quiet time, and they heard their dad pray to their incredible God, Jesus Christ, for them and for their mom. What a beautiful memory that must be. Can your children say that? Well, Hezekiah was a prayer warrior, and the text tells us he prayed twice. We have two instances in Scripture where he prays powerfully to God. The second time, shortly after God delivers the nation from the Assyrian, Hezekiah becomes deathly ill. So much so that the prophet Isaiah goes to him and says, "Hey, king, you better get your house in order because you're going to die." And Hezekiah prays a second beautiful prayer to the Lord. Comes back and says, "Okay, we've got another 15 years. And it's here, gentlemen, where Hezekiah, who started so strong for Jesus Christ, who started so strong for his incredible God, where his testimony turned south. Because right after God delivers him from his illness, he entertains an embassy that comes from the next big power in the region, Babylon, who had heard all these great things that God had done for the kingdom of Judah, how he delivered them from the Assyrians and how he'd restored King Hezekiah. And they sent emissaries bearing gifts. Listen to verse 31 from 2 Chronicles 32. "However, when ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test them and to see what was really in his heart." God tested him, and Hezekiah fails miserably. My kids would say, major fail. Rather than give credit to God the way he'd done before, he says, "Look at me. Guys, let me show you all the treasures in our temple. Let me show you all the silver and gold I've amassed. It's me, me, me." He doesn't recognize and give honor to his incredible God who provided all these things. And the result? The Babylonian emissaries go back to Babylon, report to their king and say, "Man, you got to see what we see." And guess what? Babylon puts the kingdom of Judah on their nations to conquer list. Hezekiah's pride ends up undoing everything God had done through him for the nation of Israel. And God brings judgment to Hezekiah. Listen to Isaiah 39, 5 through 6. "Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Listen to this message from the Lord of heaven's armies. The time is coming when everything in your palace, that includes his family, all the treasures stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left,' says the Lord. And God, through Isaiah, tells Hezekiah, now this isn't going to happen in your lifetime, but it's going to happen. And it's what I'm going to do to your nation, because of your pride, is what I just saved you from the Assyrian Empire. It's going to happen to you through the Babylonians, who you brag to. What a sad finish to a leader who finished so strong. Billy Graham, Chuck Templeton, Bron Clifford, all three gifted evangelists who packed auditoriums for Jesus Christ, all started out in their mid-20s like a house on fire. But we only remember Billy Graham. Why? Well, it's our last lesson from Hezekiah's life, because the other two didn't finish strong. After 5 years after he came on the scene, filling auditoriums for the glory of God, Templeton left the ministry and he pursued a career in radio and TV. Why? Because he had decided that he no longer believed in the validity of Jesus Christ and his claims. 5 years after packing auditoriums. It's his pride that got him. He thought it was himself. And what about the other contemporary? Bron Clifford, he died at the age of 35, 10 years after he started his ministry. What did he die of? Sclerosis of the liver. After losing his family, his ministry, he lost his health to alcohol. His last job, he was selling used cars in the panhandle of Texas. In the Christian life, gentlemen, it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. So how are you finishing, gentlemen? Can you, like Paul, say, I have fought the good fight, I have run the good race, I have kept the faith? And do you have a vision for your family? Because Hezekiah certainly didn't. They may know Jesus Christ, but are they walking with him? You know, George Barna says that by the third generation, so you've got some grandparents here, by the third generation, most Christians know of Jesus Christ, but they're not walking with him. That should scare you. It does me. Are you memorizing God's word? You know, I sometimes get very anxious when I have to get up and speak. And I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night, anxious thoughts, and I can recall certain scripture verses. Deuteronomy 31:6, for instance, it's my favorite go-to when I'm super anxious. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's powerful, and I just go right back to sleep as a result of that. But are you memorizing the text? God's beautiful word. In Ephesians 6, it's the Spirit of God. It's the only offensive weapon. Are you using it? And are you teaching your kids? Are you the one able to really talk Scripture, bring it forward, but your grandkids can't? Your kids? Not really. They know of Jesus Christ. Let's learn from Hezekiah. Yeah, he was a steadfast. And when he needed God, he called on him. But boy, when things got good, when things went smoothly, he took credit for himself. And as a result, he ended up being a so-so leader. Mark asked me at the beginning, what do you think? Is he a good leader? Bad leader? So-so. He was so-so. Because at the end of the day, he didn't finish strong. And in the Christian life, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Because soon after Hezekiah recovered from his illness, he sired a son. Here's his legacy. Manasseh, who would end up being the most wicked king the kingdom of Judah had ever seen. And he completely undid in one generation everything the Lord God had done through his dad. And it's even rumored, many historians believe, that it's Manasseh who murdered Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who was also King Hezekiah's friend. In the Christian life, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Let's finish strong. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for this great example of these kings. Thank you for the beautiful story of King Hezekiah, and what a great reminder to us to have a vision for our families, to not just let them know about Jesus Christ. And we know, you, Lord, you don't have any grandchildren. You only have children. That decision's got to come from each one of us. But can we model for them the joy of what it is to walk with you, Lord Jesus? And may we all do it for your glory and yours alone. In Christ's name, amen.